Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome to our fall pledge drive.
Join the family.
It's Wednesday, November 9th. Good morning, family. Welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air as we continue with day three of our Relevant Radio Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America, wherever you may be here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you every morning. And once again, I just want to say thank you for all your support. All your support, the first few days of our pledge drive, your support the first hour here this morning. Really do appreciate it. Keep in mind that by noon today, we're going to be at the midway point of our pledge drive, but we still have a ways to go to reach our $3 million goal by Friday at 5 p.m. Central. But I have great faith in every one of you, our Relevant Radio family, as you've proven time and time again. You always open your heart. You always come through. But we need your help this morning. We set the tone for the entire network and for the rest of the day. Join the family. We're looking for 100 people. That's 100 brothers and sisters in Christ to step up to the plate here in this 7 a.m. Central Hour. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app if you feel compelled to give from the heart. Or you can, of course, call us at 877-291-0. But again, we really do need your help. So open your heart and join the family, and perhaps you might do it in honor of our Blessed Mother Mary and her intercession in your life. Now, today is the feast of St. John Lateran Basilica in Rome, the Cathedral of the Bishop of Rome, the mother and the head of all the churches in Rome and across the world. Once again, on Wednesdays, I always remind you, we always take a moment to think about St. Joseph. Pray to St. Joseph. He is a powerful intercessor. We need Joseph during this pledge drive. So go to Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church. We always begin every hour doing our pledge drive with the powerful memorare prayer. We invoke the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, to help us not only with this pledge drive, but to continue to pray for an end to legal abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, my hero and the co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to briefly bring in Glenn and Sarah at noon. We're going to be at the halfway point. We have a little bit ways to go, Glenn, but our family of listeners, our Relevant Radio family, has always stepped up to the plate time and time again.
Hey, they certainly have. World's greatest listeners, John, inviting folks to call and join the family this morning on the phone at 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com. Lots of great thank you gifts we'll be telling you about, including a Wednesday-only special coming up in just a little bit as well. But don't forget to get around to giving to Relevant Radio. You can still vote for Relevant Radio at 877-291-0123.
I love that. The election is over as of last night. We still are waiting on many of the results, but you can always vote for Relevant Radio. We really need you to vote to join the family. Glenn, let's talk about what we know the latest. What do we know about the midterms as of this hour?
Yeah, just a couple of headlines from the election last night. They're still going on as far as tabulation in a lot of races. A little too close to call yet for the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, though. Democrats did pick up a seat with John Fetterman besting Mehmet Oz there. Too close to call yet in Georgia, as well as a couple races out west, including in Arizona. But the Democrats did pick up one seat. They'd have to lose another or two for Republicans to gain control. Looks like Republicans may end up with a narrow lead in the U.S. House, expected to pick up a couple of seats right there. Another thing on the ballot in many states, too, was abortion, John. Voters in three states approving measures guaranteeing legal abortion in California, Michigan, and Vermont, Sally.
That is the one disappointment for many Catholics, pro-life Catholics in particular. And so we continue to pray for our nation, and we continue to be patient, because we will know the results in the final days to come, in the upcoming days to come, and in the hours. Perhaps we'll know more later today. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 6:21. Jesus the Lord says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So the question is, what is your treasure? What do you value the most? Your heart is connected to what you value the most. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate treasure. He is our hope. There is nothing more important than our faith in Christ. Our Lord wants all of your heart, and this is what Relevant Radio is all about. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. You can always send us your thoughts, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, on October 11th, we celebrated the 60th anniversary of Vatican II. This is an opportunity to look back and make sense of Pope John XXIII's original intention in calling the Council, to understand what Vatican II actually taught and to put those teachings into the context of world and Catholic events in the decades since that epic event. Joining us live this morning is world-renowned Catholic scholar and papal biographer George Weigel to discuss his new book, "To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II." George Weigel is a distinguished senior fellow at Washington's Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's a Catholic theologian and one of America's leading public intellectuals. He's also the author of "Witness to Hope," the biography of Pope John Paul II, and several other books on the Holy Father. Good morning, George. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again.
Morning, John. How are you?
Doing well. A little tired, stayed up a little later than expected last night.
Well, it's good that we're talking about Vatican II on the day after an election and in the midst of your pledge drive, because that's the whole point of Relevant Radio, is to help sanctify the world. So those who support you in that important work are living out the authentic mission of the Second Vatican Council.
And it's a never-ending reminder that every one of us can grow in holiness by the work that we do. And it's something that we try to instill on our listeners, on our Relevant Radio family, each and every day. So I appreciate you being with us here this morning. I want to talk about, obviously, your book and your teachings. George, tell us, why was the Second Vatican Council the most significant event in the history of the Catholic Church in the 500 years since the Protestant Reformation?
Well, it was the most important event since the Council of Trent, which was the Church's response to the various reformations of the 16th century. The Second Vatican Council was a response to a different kind of crisis, a civilizational crisis, which in the first half of the 20th century had produced two world wars, three totalitarian systems, And all of that because of defective ideas of the human person and human community. The Church needed to develop a credible response to that by putting Christ at the center of a new humanism. And that was the purpose of the Second Vatican Council, to do precisely that, to rearticulate a Christ-centered vision of the human person and human community.
Well, George, there is so much to talk about when it comes to Vatican II. We have a little bit shorter clock here during the pledge drive. We need to take a short time out, but we continue our conversation with world-renowned Catholic scholar and papal biographer George Weigel, the author of his latest book, To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side after this message from our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I so much appreciate you tuning in this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our conversation with noted author and theologian George Weigel, talking about his latest book, To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II. George, why does Vatican II remain so deeply contested in the minds of many people in our Catholic Church? All kinds of folks who talk about the spirit of Vatican II, and they don't really understand the original intention.
I think there are several reasons for the ongoing contestation, John. One is the one you just mentioned, people who misunderstand the Second Vatican Council as an invitation to reinvent the Catholic Church. That was never John the 23rd's intention. That is nowhere to be found in the documents of the Second Vatican Council. But some people continue to insist on pursuing this project I've been calling Catholic Light for 20 years. And we see where that leads in Germany today. It leads to apostasy. Then there is a group, including, interestingly enough, young people today, who claimed the council really wasn't necessary. Everything was just fine and dandy in the church after the Second World War. And that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the reading of our times. The council was necessary to respond to a world that was dying from what one of the great fathers of the council, Father Henri de Lubac, the theologian at the council, called atheistic humanism, an attempt to organize the world without God and without the image of Christ as the template of a true humanism. So the council was necessary. The council spoke beautifully about the Lord, about how the Lord reveals both God and us to us, and about the church as the model of genuine human community.
George, you think that the previous councils of the church offered a key to the proper interpretation of Vatican II at a time when there was so much confusion and turbulence with everything that was happening in the 1960s?
Previous councils, John, offered keys to their proper interpretation in the form of creeds, like the creed from the Council of Nicaea that we recite on Sundays. By making dogmatic definitions, by condemning heresies, by writing canons into the law of the church. Vatican II did none of that. But as I argue in the book To Sanctify the World, and I think I demonstrate, John Paul II and Benedict XVI, over 35 years through their teaching, gave us the authoritative keys to unlocking the evangelical power of the Second Vatican Council. And the evidence for that is that the living parts of the world church today, wherever you find them, are the parts that have embraced John Paul II and Benedict XVI's authoritative interpretation of the council and are getting on with the mission of being evangelical disciples, missionary disciples, sanctifying the world.
What was the vision of Pope John Paul II and then his successor, Benedict XVI, in terms of carrying on the original intention of Vatican II?
I think both John Paul II and Benedict XVI, who, by the way, were men of the council, they both played significant roles at Vatican II, understood that the council was meant to rekindle the church's Christ-centered faith so that we would enter a new era of missionary vitality. Both John Paul II and Benedict XVI, like John the 23rd, understood that in the conditions of the late modern world, ethnicity, nationality, even family connections were not going to transmit the faith over time. The faith had to be proposed. The church had to rediscover itself as fundamentally evangelical and missionary in character, and had to put Christ at the center of that proclamation. So there's a real continuity from John the 23rd, really through Paul the 6th, onto John Paul II and Benedict the 16th, and understanding what the council was for, what it taught, and how it ought to be implemented.
George, where do you think that we're at here 60 years after Vatican II in today's Catholic Church?
As I said a minute ago, John, the living parts of the world church are the parts that have embraced the council as authoritatively interpreted by John Paul II and Benedict XVI. The dying parts of the world church are the parts that are still trying to make the Catholic Light project work. That manifestly doesn't work. That's obvious in places like Germany, Belgium, Holland, etc. And that's the fundamental empirical fact of Catholic life among 1.3 billion people today. The living parts of the world church are those that have embraced the council as authoritatively interpreted by John Paul II and Benedict XVI. And the dying parts are those that imagine the council was an invitation to reinvent the church according to the spirit of the age.
George, let's talk about your new book, To Sanctify the World. Tell us about the process, the inspiration, how long it took you to put it all together.
Well, I've been thinking about the Second Vatican Council for decades, John. The impending 60th anniversary of its opening last month struck me as a good moment to offer a fresh analysis of why the council was called and what it actually taught. So I just set to work on that a couple of years ago, and the book comes in three parts: why the council was necessary, what the council taught, and the authoritative keys to the Second Vatican Council. So I hope what the book does is get people out of their little silos of received opinion, look at all of this again, pray over these really beautiful texts of the Second Vatican Council, and come out of that understanding that all of us are called to be missionary disciples.
George, talking about the teachings of Vatican II, can you share with us a few of the most important teachings that Vatican II taught?
Well, in light of what's going on in Germany today and what seems to be going on in part in this worldwide so-called synodal process, I think the most important thing the council did was reaffirm the church's belief in divine revelation. God does speak into the world. He speaks into the world first through the Jewish people, later and definitively in the person of the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God. And that revelation of God's purposes in creating and redeeming us is binding for all time. It's not something that we can reinvent. It's the template for righteous living, for human happiness, for ultimately human beatitude. So to be able to reaffirm that at a moment in history when a lot of people were saying, look, this is all just a myth or a pious legend or whatever, to reaffirm the reality of divine revelation, which is to say that God knows better than we do. And part of what's going on in Germany today is people saying, no, actually, we know better than God does about what makes for righteous human living. So that was the fundamental and most important affirmation. Within that, the affirmation that Jesus Christ reveals both the face of the Father of mercies and the truth about our humanity. Jesus reveals God to us, and he reveals us to us, was central to the teaching of the Second Vatican Council and ought to be at the center of the church's proclamation in the 21st century.
Well, George Weigel, I really appreciate you being on with us. Many blessings with your book, To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II. Thanks again.
Thank you, John.
George Weigel, a distinguished senior fellow at Washington's Ethics and Public Policy Center and noted Catholic theologian. We need to take a short break. We'll be back with much more after this.
Powered by you.
By you.
Listener supported.
Welcome back to our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to the final half hour of Morning Air this morning as we continue with day three of the Relevant Radio Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in here on this Wednesday morning. Always a joy to be with you. Again, I am just overflowing with gratitude. We have an anonymous donor who is willing to match up to $10,000, dollar for dollar, here this hour, if we can raise $10,000. So this is an added motivation to our brothers and sisters that are listening here this morning. If you're listening, if you feel compelled to step up to the plate and help us here with the mission of Relevant Radio, this is the hour. Now is the moment. We're looking for 100 people to step up here in the final 25 minutes here of this hour. So matching dollar for dollar up to $10,000 is fabulous. And thank you again to our anonymous donor. Now, how many of you consider yourself to be a leader? Are you a leader at your workplace or at your parish or perhaps some other environment or maybe other arena, perhaps in sports? Perhaps you have some skills or traits that people fail to recognize, but there are certain key elements of what makes you a leader that we need to recognize. If you are a leader, listen up. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Joining us live this morning is our longtime Morning Air contributor, Dave Duran, to talk about six common traits most people don't recognize in great leaders. Dave Duran is an author, speaker, and executive coach. He is the co-founder and executive chairman of Best Version Media and founder of Lighthouse Catholic Media and DE Media. You can follow Dave on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Good morning, Dave. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you once again, right in the middle here of our Join the Family Pledge Drive.
Hey, it's great to be with you, John. You know, I love the Pledge Drive because, you know, there's so many different places that people can contribute money, so many important things that we do just as human beings, let alone guided by our Catholic faith, which is, of course, should guide all the places we give our money. But Relevant Radio is so powerful because you can check your work. You know, you can know that where those dollars go, you can just listen and you can say, wow, this is happening. What's so powerful about it is that even though these other causes, and by the way, I advocate for other causes, we have to help the poor, we have to do so many different types of things. But one of the things that's important to note is that the first step to that is the conversion of the heart. And when we have a conversion of the heart and now we start to want to know Christ better and become more dedicated to what we're doing, we actually increase our ability to help other causes as well, too. It's kind of like one of those things like what comes first, the priest or the family? Well, the family, a faithful family, will then provide to God. Well, God provides to his church the priesthood, but that family will now enable that vocation to be recognized and heard, right? And so in this, I would really encourage people to say, hey, listen, if I want to help all sorts of causes, I want to begin with Relevant Radio. Because if I can begin here, I'm going to move hearts and those people are going to get more involved in other things too. I'm certainly not trying to make this, I'm actually trying to make this not about one against the other. I'm actually trying to say all these things are so important, but this first step, a conversion of the heart and greater dedication that Relevant Radio provides really enables that.
And week in and week out, I always appreciate your authentic Catholic discussion, Catholic perspective that you bring to our conversations about leadership here every Wednesday. Relevant Radio really is a family and something that you know firsthand. We support each other. We pray for each other. You've actually seen Relevant Radio from the very early days. I still have the old brochure when we were on like 12 stations to where we are today, over 200 stations coast to coast. Just a great reminder that we can't do it without the support of the listeners. We wouldn't be in 200-plus stations if it wasn't for our Relevant Radio family, Dave.
I know. It's so true. This March will be 20 years that I've been on the air at Relevant Radio. And so I've seen a lot. I've heard many stories of conversion. In fact, really innumerable. And I'll be in places, too, where I remember one time I was at the airport and I was just standing in line talking to some people at the airport. And somebody, they said, excuse me, do you mind if I, are you Dave Durand? I listen to Relevant Radio and I recognize your voice. And that right there, that type of thing where you just know that in common places and just driving down the street and seeing the Relevant Radio bumper stickers all over the place, that conversion takes place because of this, and it's an engagement. And that's one of the things that's so powerful about it. So it's just really been just great to be associated with the organization and see the growth.
Well, Dave, I take notes every week. I learn a lot from your insights. So, you know, you are the man when it comes to talking about leadership. And when it comes to a leader, it's easy to see their traits. But why is it that some traits, people just don't see them? They don't recognize these traits from really great leaders.
You know, they're subtle. That's one of the reasons why. The difference between the great golfer and the good golfer, or even the poor golfer, is, you know, kind of subtle. The really bad golfer, me, for example, it's pretty easy to see why I'm not, you know, going to be on the tour soon. But when you're a golfer that, you know, has a 20 handicap versus somebody that's actually shooting par or under par, it's difficult to just look at the swing and see it. I remember in martial arts, too, when I was training, if I would train with somebody and you had two black belts at a pretty high level that were sparring, unless you actually really knew how to keep score, it was difficult to see who was winning the match, even if sometimes, you know, it was like a skunk, you know, 0 points to whatever, because the movements are so quickly. In leadership, it's the same thing. We see the obvious things, but these subtle ones, for example, the first one, John, is great leaders are committed to expertise. They really are. They use repetition, frequency, intensity, and purpose. That's a completely other subject. We've talked about it before, so I'm not going to get too into it. But, you know, even if callers want to know, well, how do I become an expert? We can show them how, even, you know, in another call. But basically, repetition, frequency, intensity, and purpose are the four steps to expertise. But leaders do that. Now, they don't expect to be an expert in all things. They're not going to say, hey, as the CEO, I need to be an expert in marketing, an expert in sales, an expert in accounting, an expert in production. But what they need to do is be an expert as a leader. And if they're missing something in leadership, decision making, for example, culture building, for example, they need to say, you know what, I'm going to be committed to being an expert in this. In the same way that we want our pilot of the airplane that we are riding on to be an expert. We don't want them to just be okay. We want our LASIK surgeon to be an expert. We want our accountant to be an expert. So great leaders are committed to expertise. And if they ever take a passive approach toward that on being an expert leader, now they don't run around saying, by the way, I'm an expert leader. I mean, that would run against the whole idea, right? But they are at least internally and silently committed to expertise in leadership. They don't just say, well, I'm not that good of a leader, so what? Deal with it, go to work. They do what they can to become an expert leader.
And in business, just like in our Catholic faith, you can't give what you don't have.
Oh, amen to that. It's so real. And, you know, it's just, we have to think about it from the perspective of the other. That's why I use aviation as an example, because the stakes are so high. We would never give a pass to our pilot for being an okay pilot, ever. We want an expert pilot. And if that pilot has any sort of conscience, they want to be an expert pilot, not only for their own life, but for the life of the passengers that they have actually in their care. Well, we are the pilot of all things we lead. And no matter what it is that we're leading, we want to think of those passengers that are on that plane that we're taking someplace. And whether or not we're committed to being an expert leader for our own sake or not, we need to do it for them. By the way, that is one of the greatest ways to look at servant leadership. People look at servant leadership wrong and they think, well, you have to empty the garbage cans as a CEO. Yeah, that's good. I get it. Right. But frankly speaking, if you're spending so much time on the garbage, then you're really not doing your actual job of the other leadership things you're supposed to do. So they use these kind of like false piety to describe servant leadership. Servant leadership has that as an element. I'm not eliminating that. But servant leadership primarily is to make sacrifices for the good of the organization. And the best place that you can make a sacrifice as a leader is to understand how to be an expert leader by studying great leaders and then emulating those things until you own them to help people get where it is they want to go. And that's why they chose to follow you.
We're talking about six common traits that most people don't recognize in great leaders. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with our success coach, Dave Duran, the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more after this miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
John in Big Rock, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. You know, I called in earlier this week and because I thought there was a chance that I might have cancer. Yep. I had an MRI yesterday. I got the results last night, and I am cancer-free.
Oh, praise God. Another
I just
answer.
I want to say thank you for your passion for this prayer and Relevant Radio for allowing you to say it. And just everybody that's listening, use this prayer. It's awesome. It's an awesome gift from God.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Make a tax-deductible donation now to support our mission at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123.
Don't you love it? We really are family here at Relevant Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Welcome back to Morning Air as we continue talking about some of the most common traits that people don't recognize in great leaders with our great leader, our personal success coach, Dave Duran. Dave, what is the second trait that so many folks just don't recognize about great leaders?
It's called high power versus low power. Basically, high power is to empower. You use your power to share it, to give it, to multiply it with others. Whereas low power is to power over people. It's fueled oftentimes by passive aggressiveness or withholding. It's a non-delegation oriented thing. It's very pride driven. So it's high power versus low power. It's to empower versus power over.
And is this something that a lot of people are aware of, this difference between high and low power, or is this really sort of a hidden trait?
It's a hidden trait. Even the leader themselves has a difficult time recognizing it because, you know, one of the most powerful motivators for human beings is self-justification. And so our pride will say, well, nobody could do this as well as me, and so I'm going to do it. Or, you know what, Bob, or, you know, Katie's bothering me today, so I'm not going to respond to their email right away. And they deserve it because they shouldn't have talked to me in the meeting the way they did, or whatever it happens to be. There's all these silly different things that people do when they have their ego involved or divided heart at work, and all of these things can confuse us. We just basically have to say, listen, if you have power or authority, are you hoarding it or are you sharing it? If you have somebody on your team, did you truly give them a promotion and the authority that comes with that promotion, or did you placate them with some sort of fake title? So we have to truly empower people if we're going to empower people. See, people have a tendency to think if the people in my organization excel or do well, then the light is shown on them, the glory goes to them, and I lose my own glory. Well, first of all, glory be to God. Let's begin with that. Second of all, on the human level, yes, we do like recognition and accomplishment. That's a normal thing, and it's not always a pride-filled, sinful thing. It's kind of an affirmation of good work, and the Holy Spirit gives us these affirmations. I did well. I was recognized for doing well. Therefore, I am confirmed that I should continue to do this sort of thing. That is there's a certain level of health there as long as it doesn't cross the line. But what we have to recognize is that the greater the glory of the people that are working with us because of the work that they have done to do well, the more it reflects upon us as a leader in the first place. So we should never feel like we are competing with the people on our teams that we are empowering. It's just absolutely such a warped sense of reality when people do that. But you see it a lot.
Dave, so much to talk about, so little time. I mentioned that sports is a metaphor for life a moment ago, which leads us to the next trait. We got about less than a minute.
All right, we'll burn through these here, okay? They make things simple. I'll just stop with that. The next thing they do is they speak in analogies and metaphors. And if you look at the Bible with parables, that's the same sort of thing there. Then after that, they have high levels of compassion. And people forget this. And they also, they are eager and swift in correcting their own mistakes. So, you know, when, listen, frankly, if you speak in analogies and metaphors, you're going to reach people you couldn't have before. If you make things simple, always the best way. High levels of compassion, everybody wants to feel that on the receiving side. And we all respect that leader that is, you know, not begrudgingly correcting their own mistakes or recognizing them, but eager and swift to correct and admit their own mistakes. Very powerful things.
The old adage, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, really is true.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And in fact, I would say that the higher the intellect, or even not intellect, but the higher the training, the higher the skill, which can be done through training, of a leader, the simpler things become.
Well, Dave, as always, I appreciate your insights, your perspective, and your teachings week in and week out. It's always great to be with you. Final thought.
My final thought is leadership is hard work, and it is sacrificial, and it's an opportunity for mortification to become holy. So I just encourage anybody who's in a leadership position, or even if you don't know you are, to recognize that you are in many positions and take on the challenge.
Thanks again, Dave. Really appreciate it. Our personal success coach, Dave Duran, the co-founder of Decided Excellence Catholic Media. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Always good to talk about giving during a pledge drive week. Our story today, Godly Giving by Melanie Scherer. How many people do you know who truly give just for the sake of giving, because they know it's the good and right thing to do? How many folks do you know who offer their services, time, and emotions simply because they have a real heart to help a fellow man? I wish I could say I knew many such people, but reality is few individuals I know give out of a cheerful and loving heart, expecting nothing from man or God in return. Even in my own life, while my heart may be acting in love, a small, subtle part of me sometimes hopes that God will offer me something in return, such as a prayer answered. Unfortunately, God does not work this way. When a prayer is answered or a blessing bestowed, our Creator does not issue it as some sort of reward system or trophy for a job well done. No, my friends, God is above such juvenile behavior. When the Lord gives, He gives because it is good and right to do so. Next time you're moved to reach out and give to someone, whether it be volunteering some time to help feed the homeless, work with cancer patients, or offer a supportive shoulder to a friend in need, do so expecting nothing in return. The simple yet profound joy of knowing you did the right thing because it was the godly thing to do and not because you'd receive earthly recognition will be all the reward you'll need. God knows not only our every word and deed, but He knows our true motives behind our actions. Show God what's in your heart today. Matthew 6, 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Thanks again, Glenn, for another powerful Story Corner. In this month of November, let's honor the Mother of God by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky for our departed family members and loved ones, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As Father Rocky says, remember, the family that prays together stays together. So stay with us. Much more of the Relevant Radio. Join the family fall pledge drive coming up here in a moment. We want to finish strong. The Patrick Madrid Show will be coming up shortly at the top of the hour. Stay with us.